And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
We made it, everybody. It's draft week. Finally, we're here in Philadelphia. I should say I'm here in Philadelphia. Bucky manning the fort back in Culver City in Southern California. But it's been beautiful weather for most of the day in Philadelphia, although we're getting a little bit of rain right now. Bucky, I got the overcoat. You own an overcoat in Southern California. You wear it once a year. Getting some use out of it here in Philadelphia. But I tell you what, Move the Sticks, brought to you by the U.S. Marine Corps. Draft week, it doesn't get better, Buck.
Doesn't get better. This is a Super Bowl for all of the scouts to finally see all of their hard work come to fruition, get to see some of these big names come off the board, and finally have some destinations for the players that we've talked about the entire 2016-2017 campaign.
All right, I tell you what, Buck, I have no idea what's going to happen in this draft. Everything is up in the air, but I do know what we're going to cover on today's show. We've got latest first-round buzz, going to go through that a little bit. Who is this year's Dak Prescott, and some day two and day three players to watch. Let's just jump right into this thing. You ready to go?
Let's go. Let's get right to it. Here we go.
All right, well, lately we've had a couple interesting stories break. Reuben Foster, we never got a chance to talk about that last week. The news came out about the diluted test for him at the combine. We knew the issue about him getting sent home from the combine, and now you throw this on top of it. Our Ian Rapoport broke the story and had a really interesting interview there with Reuben Foster. What are your thoughts on this, and what do you think this does to his draft stock?
Well, I mean, I think it hurt him a little bit, but I don't think we'll have anything beyond a minimal impact on where he gets drafted. People that know the kid, particularly down in Alabama, swear by the kid, say he was a team leader, say he was a good character kid. Comes from a difficult circumstance and situation, but when you think about what he's been able to do at Alabama, how he's interacted with his teammates, how he's interacted with the coaching staff, I believe they'll vouch for him. And because of that, I believe teams will still trust him as a top pick. There's no question he's the top inside linebacker on the board. He's a difference-maker, an impact player at a position where you need a natural-born leader. He is that, and because of that, I don't think he'll drop much at all by this.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to drop much. Talking to the teams over the last week, I haven't heard them say they've taken him off the board. Haven't heard anybody say that, and everybody expects him still to go in the first round. Now, another player that had a diluted test here at the combine, this information just came out today on Jabril Peppers. To me, he was kind of borderline first-round, second round. I think this pretty much secures the fact that he's not going to go in the first round, Buck.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think he gives teams a way out. Those teams that were undecided on whether he's a first-round talent or a second-round talent, whether to play him, it kind of gives them an easy out. I believe he's still going to be one of the best players out of this class. It's just trying to find the perfect position for him, trying to go to the right team. At the top of the second round, a team that is willing to play a hybrid guy as a safety, as a nickel corner, an occasional playmaker in the kicking game, will get a talented player in Jabril Peppers, someone who I believe can be a Pro Bowl player very quickly in his career, just as an offensive or a kick return threat in the backfield.
Yeah, keep an eye there. I think you keep an eye on San Francisco. If they don't take a safety in the first round, maybe Jabril Peppers would make some sense for them there in the second round. All right, let's go through what we're thinking here on the top 10 and how this thing could shake out. And it's a wild group because we have no idea at this point in time. The draft is just a couple days away, Buck. So let's just roll through some different scenarios here. Start with the number one overall pick with the Cleveland Browns. I mean, look, Myles Garrett's what we've been saying throughout the whole process. I assume it's still going to be Myles Garrett. But then you also have the conversation of, you know, do they potentially go quarterback? And if they go quarterback, we assume it would be Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, I think this is a situation where if you're the Cleveland Browns, you can't get too cute when you're making the evaluation. Myles Garrett has probably graded higher than Mitchell Trubisky on everyone's draft board from the beginning of the regular season all the way to this process. Just because you need a quarterback, you don't manufacture a quarterback at the number one spot. Take the best available player. I believe that's Myles Garrett in this situation for the Browns. You do that, you accumulate a roster full of blue chip players, and eventually you win a huge number of games. That's what they need to do. You can't rush Mitchell Trubisky up the board just because you need a quarterback.
All right, we get to pick number two here with the 49ers. I got a mystery name for you here in a second, but why don't you give me a couple names you think could be in play here for the Niners, Buck?
Well, the Niners have a natural need at cornerback. Tremaine Brock was released after his situation, and they also need a pass rusher. Solomon Thomas is a name that comes to mind. So Solomon Thomas, Marshawn Lattimore, those are the two guys that could come into play. Marshawn Lattimore is a guy that we've talked about being the natural on the outside. Smooth, fluid, polished, outstanding instincts, awareness, all the movement skills that you normally normally see from a top corner. Has big play ability in terms of getting his hands on the ball, locking up number one receivers. Yes, there's some issues with the hamstrings, but if you're comfortable thinking that you can be a team that can get a number one corner, a shutdown corner, I think you pull the trigger, make him your number one guy. Hopefully he can resolve some of those other issues.
Yeah, you also then have Solomon Thomas, who I think could very much be in play. Wouldn't have to travel very far, obviously, coming from Stanford there to San Francisco to the Niners. But to me, you talk about how does he fit this team. They want to kind of recreate that Bucs defense John Lynch was a part of, and having a player that you can put in a three technique and let him get after the quarterback, Solomon Thomas would give that. I'm going to give you the bonus name, though. We talked about it a little bit before. I know you have Carlos Hyde there, Buck. Do not sleep on Leonard Fournette kind of shaking things up at number two to San Francisco. I'm just telling you, that could be kind of fun if that were to happen. That would not completely shock me. All right, let's go on to team number three here, the Chicago Bears, pick third, Buck. A couple names to keep in mind for them. I think you look in the secondary, and I think we've got a couple safeties we both love.
Yeah, they have to find someone that can be a game-changer in the middle field, and it really comes down to style. What would you like to have in your back end? Do you want a box player? Because if you want a box player, then that's Jamal Adams. If you want a center field safety, that is Malik Hooker. To me, I'm looking at Jamal Adams, and I'm thinking about his ability to come down in the box and to be able to not only play against the run, but to be a factor as a blitzer, as a guy that can impact the game with his forceful personality. He would be a nice fit for the Monsters of the Midway. They haven't had a presence in the back end in years. They could use a dominant playmaker, someone who has dominated in the SEC and exhibits all the qualities that you look for. And then I know you love Malik Hooker and what he brings to the table as a center field safety.
Yeah, I'm a big Malik Hooker fan. We've been talking about him throughout the whole run-up to the draft, using that comparison to Ed Reed. Makes it look so easy, so smooth, so fluid, ranging from the middle of the field, getting his hands on footballs, making things happen. And just saw the video today. He posted a video of him working out, running around, coming off those injuries, the double hernia there. He looks like he's moving around pretty good, so he should be good to go by the start of the season. All right, let's keep things going here, Buck. We get to four with Jacksonville. Fournette has been the obvious choice all along. I think it makes a lot of sense for this football team. You also have a chance there, though. If Solomon Thomas were to drop in their lap, I could see that being an option.
Yeah, I mean, I can see a number of options available to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Leonard Fournette makes a lot of sense. Big physical player, guy that can run the ball well between the tackles, has a violent tendency to the way he finishes runs. The Jacksonville Jaguars need an attitude makeover on offense. They need to be a tougher team. That has been the mandate from the top down from Tom Coughlin. Leonard Fournette gives them a powerful running back that can help them change that identity.
All right, let's move on now. The Titans zone pick 5 and 18. Their first pick, though, at number 5. I think, again, try and trade out of there if they could. I'd keep an eye, though, on getting a weapon for Marcus Mariota. I think that maybe happens at 18. At 5, Bucky, I think they look on the defensive side of the ball, particularly keep an eye on some corners.
Yeah, I think there are a couple different corners that could fit in there, but I think Marshawn Lattimore is the guy that they would love to have at this situation. We talked about his ability to make plays, a natural cover corner, has outstanding footwork, instincts, high IQ, plays the ball well, very competitive. In big games, he has showed up. It's just a matter of can he stay healthy enough to make you feel good about being the 5th overall pick. I believe he certainly has the talent to be a shutdown corner.
Yeah, you got his teammate there too, and Gary and Conley, both these Ohio State corners. I think you'll see them go off the board here pretty quick. And Conley, to me, Bucky, the way he goes up and high points the football, he can locate it, he can find it, he can make plays down the football field. You can play him in press, you can play him in off, you can do a lot of different things with him, and I think he brings a toughness to the secondary that that any team will be happy with, so keep an eye on him there as well. Let's move this thing along here to the Jets picking at 6. And this is a team, Buck, I don't know when the last time they had a good tight end was. It's been a minute. I think they could definitely find an upgrade in this draft, and they could go to Tuscaloosa, Alabama to find him.
O.J. Howard is the guy that would be the perfect fit for the New York Jets. I know you don't have a quarterback, but as you're building this team, trying to figure out how can we best support a young quarterback that we'll eventually draft, get someone in the middle of the field that can command a double team, that can make life easy for all the weapons on the outside, that's O.J. Howard. I've called him on several occasions a solar system player, a guy that you can put in the passing game and everything revolves around him. You get O.J. Howard in New York, it makes life easier for whoever is the quarterback long-term for the Jets.
All right, we get to 7, Chargers, Malik Hooker. Bucky, it just makes so much sense, and you talk about Gus Bradley's defense. Malik Hooker was made to play in that defense.
Natural center field safety, guy that has ranged from numbers to numbers as that center fielder in that single high safety defense. He can cover a lot of ground, make life easy on his corners. Gus Bradley's putting in the same scheme that he put in Jacksonville that he previously ran in Seattle. You have to have a game changer in the middle, much like the Seahawks have had for years in Earl Thomas. Malik Hooker is a guy that is a perfect fit in that system.
Now we get to Christian McCaffrey pick. I mean, sorry, the Carolina Panthers pick, right? We've been talking about Christian McCaffrey going to the Panthers, it seems like, for a couple weeks now. That would make a lot of sense. I think we could see that happen. In fact, I'm almost willing to bet we do see that happen if he's available. But also have an option there on the defensive side of the ball if they don't go McCaffrey. If for some reason we're all shocked and McCaffrey's off the board, Derek Barnett would be a nice fit there.
Derek Barnett would be a nice fit there. You think about Derek Barnett being a guy that in three seasons consecutively, he had 10-plus sacks in the SEC, broke Reggie White's career sack record for the Vols. Outstanding hand-to-hand combat player, natural pass rush instincts. This is a proven pass rusher, something that the Carolina Panthers desperately need off the edge.
All right, let's keep things moving here, Bucky. We get to the Cincinnati Bengals, and this could get interesting there with them. A couple different players I think make some sense there. When you look at Jonathan Allen, if he were to slide, man, he'd be a good fit there, a good football player for them up front. You also look at Hassan Reddick. This is where I think you start to see his name come into the mix. I think Reddick's going to go in the top 15, Bucky. So you got one guy in Jonathan Allen who maybe slides a little bit into this range. You have another one in Hassan Reddick who moves up into this range.
I don't think the Cincinnati Bengals can go wrong at this pick. There's going to be a good player that falls to them in their lap. They just need to run up the card to the best player available. Jonathan Allen, you talk about being a difference maker on the inside. Hassan Reddick being a game changer, a shot wrecker, even off the edge or either inside at an inside linebacker position. You can't go wrong. Either of these players will upgrade a defense that just needs a little infusion of youth and talent.
All right, then we get here finally to the pick number 10. Some quarterbacks, I think, come and play here for the Buffalo Bills. Although everything I'm kind of hearing is this is kind of coming down to the last minute here. You've got Trubisky. You've got Deshaun Watson who could potentially come and play. You have a Patrick Mahomes. All three of those quarterbacks could be in the mix for the Bills. But the latest, the last minute buzz I'm hearing on this, look to the defensive side of the ball here with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it really depends on what you think about Tyrod Taylor, because Tyrod Taylor, for me, for two seasons for the Buffalo Bills, has been pretty solid. I don't know if you need to move on from him just yet to get a young, unproven commodity when you can add another piece to that defense. Add another piece to the defense, to me, would be the smart move for the Buffalo Bills. If not, one of these three quarterbacks that come off the board, Deshaun Watson, Trubisky, Mahomes. Watson is the winner, the natural leader. Guys played in big games. Trubisky is a pure pocket passer, and Mahomes is the wild card as the gunslinger. We'll see which way they go.
Well, Buck, I got to tell you, it's gotten a little bit rainy. It's gotten a little bit cold out here in Philadelphia. But I tell you, we got the best crew working here. And I'd like to do something nice for them. If I could, I'd like to buy them all MeUndies. So why don't you tell the folks
all
about
man,
the,
you're
the
spring
best
that
underwear
on me.
In the business.
I
right
love
now.
That underwear. When I think about MeUndies, some people may ask, what are MeUndies? MeUndies, oh, just seriously soft. Feel-good undies delivered right to your door. MeUndies are designed right here in L.A. and are made from sustainably sourced micromodal, a fabric three times softer than cotton. MeUndies, softer than soft, luxe undies come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, and adventurous patterns so you can tailor your undies to your own personal style. And some of you guys didn't know this, you can save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. And if you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. You can still save. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, MeUndies.com/NFL2017, and get 20% off your first pair. So go ahead, revamp your underwear drawer. You deserve it. Once again, that's MeUndies.com/NFL2017. MeUndies.com/NFL2017.
Nicely done, Buck.
I'm out of breath. I'm out of breath. I'm out of breath after that long read.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was impressed. And I was a little bit upset I didn't get to contribute more in our MeUndies read. It's the favorite part of my show every time. All right, let's keep things moving here because right now it's time now for the Scout's Eye presented by Verizon. And this is the time, Buck, we got a little space here to talk about the quarterback position. Last year, neither one of us saw the Dak Prescott phenomenon happening, right? He goes in the middle rounds and ends up being a big-time player and propels the Cowboys into an incredible season. So the question is, who is the next Dak Prescott? And you kind of look at these names of mid-round guys. There's some interesting ones to choose from. But I'm going to go to Pitt, and I'm going to go with Nate Peterman, somebody that you want to talk about anticipation, timing, getting deep in your progression, being a little bit more pro-ready than some of these other college passers. I think that is Peterman. You see the numbers there on the screen. Only 7 interceptions, Bucky. That speaks a little bit to his decision-making. And I think he's got a chance. I think he's going to go in the third round, and I think somebody's going to be very happy with Peterman.
He has a chance. He's a touch and timing pass. He's a guy that did a really good job in Pitt's system. Gets the ball out early. Doesn't necessarily have, like, big-time arm talent, but sometimes that can be compensated for by just understanding exactly where to go with the ball and delivering it right before the receiver comes out of his break. Because of that, he has an opportunity to be a nice, solid player in the National Football League because he understands his limitations, does a great job of playing around those. My guy, Joshua Dobbs from Tennessee. We've talked to Josh Dobbs on multiple occasions, even talked to him here on the podcast. I love what he brings to the table. Smart, tough, has good arm talent, also has athleticism. When we talk about Dak Prescott and what he was able to do for the Dallas Cowboys, I believe Joshua Dobbs is in a similar light. Outstanding athlete, has a great understanding of offense. Given the chance, he has a chance to be a guy that can emerge as a starter in this draft class.
Yeah, definitely hearing his name come up in conversations around the league a lot more often. We'll see when he ends up going. I've heard some buzz as high as a second round, Bucky. Man, I would be surprised if he went in round two, but I think round three could be the sweet spot for both of our candidates here to be the next Dak Prescott. All right, that was our Scout's Eye presented by Verizon. And Bucky, now let's get outside this first round here for a second. Let's go to day two of the draft, and a guy that we're looking forward to watching and a player we think can be an immediate impact guy. I'll lead us off here. I'm going to go Zay Jones and what he brings to the table. Talented wide receiver out of East Carolina. A zillion catches in this offense, a lot of underneath stuff. But then we see him go to the Senior Bowl, see him stretch the field vertically. He goes to the combine. He runs plenty fast enough. And then we got a chance to interview him on Move the Sticks, one of my favorite guys we got a chance to talk to.
Yeah, he's a very talented player. Guy that really dominated the week at the Senior Bowl. Shows big-time ability. Is more impressive in person than I saw on tape. He is someone that obviously has an opportunity to come in as a number two receiver and be a dominant player. My guy, I'm going to go out to Oklahoma, and I'm going to take the Biletnikoff Award winner, Dede Westbrook. Dede Westbrook is a home run hitter on the outside. Averaged over 18 yards per catch during his time at Oklahoma. 21 touchdowns, including 17 last season, 2016. This is a polished route runner. Outstanding hands, ball skills. He is going to be a big play artist. Kind of reminds me a little of DeSean Jackson when he came out of Cal.
I like that one, Bucky. Let's move on now to day three. So we're talking now, this guy's going to be a 4th-7th round pick. And I'm going to go Boise State Jeremy McNichols, who I gave a second round grade to, but I think there's just so much depth and so much talent at the position in this year's draft. I think that's about where he lands. Look at that beautiful blue turf there. Bucky, you can split him out wide, watch him run routes, catch the football, get him the ball in a little bit of space. He's got a little bit more power and strength than you give him credit for. And lo and behold, Boise State, when did this happen, has become kind of the producer of NFL running backs for a school outside the Power Five. I think he's got a chance to be a starter and be a really good football player.
He has a chance to be a really good player because he is versatile. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run between the tackles. And he also has a little physicality and toughness that you like about him. Because of that, he has a chance to be a starting running back. But I'm going to go outside of that, and I'm going to say Justin Evans from Texas A&M is a guy that could be a surprise star on day three. And the reason I say this, I'm going to go back. I know he missed a bunch of tackles this year, but he is a big-time hitter, a thumper, a striker. And we've seen in the league guys that can kind of harness some of that wild child mentality when it comes to playing and being a reckless player as a tackler. They can be really good players in the pros. I believe he's going to be a standout safety and even better, an outstanding contributor on kicking teams. I like this guy. I think he's going to be a standout in the National Football League.
No, he's a heavy hitter, Bucky. I think you're going to see a nice value pick there in Evans. All right, I'm getting ushered out here, Bucky. I got to get off the balcony out here. Keep things going. But I'll tell you what, it's been a fun run up to the draft. Look, we're going to keep you going here on Move the Sticks as we get done with the draft. We'll have all your recap needs. We'll have that taken care of for you, Bucky. Great job by you. Thanks for manning down the fort at home. I'm going to stay right here in Philadelphia because we got a big show coming up on Thursday night, NFL Network 8 Eastern. You can watch the 2017 NFL Draft. This has been Move the Sticks, presented by the U.S. Marine Corps.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to nfl.com/podcasts.